right. Now that the popsicle's melted, we've got ourselves a tongue depressor.
I wanted you to look at these cold sores. I get them when I'm stressed out.
Yeah, nothing to be ashamed of. I get them from prostitutes.
I just had a hard couple months. Work had been crazy, and I went through a bad breakup, and then there was this plastic bag that represented my death.
Sounds like you could use a little R&R, rum and Ritalin.
Actually, I was hoping you'd just have an ointment for my mouth.
Gross.
Because I'm dealing with the stress thing. Over the break, I'm renting a cottage out in the Hamptons. There's just four things I want to do this summer. Be outdoors, wear shapeless clothing, do some mindless activity like gardening, and learn Spanish.
There are four things I want to do this summer, but they're roommates, so it's tricky.
Well, here's something that I want to do this summer.
Are you off your fucking meds or something?
It's the Air Raid Podcast, everybody.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Episode 51.
Woo!
In what has now become a long and drawn-out series, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I'm so not a raper!
And of course, this is the program where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear hole. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for downloading the show, however you are getting us into your little iPods, into your ear holes. Thank you for doing so. And welcome to all the new listeners, and welcome to the old listeners. Welcome to everybody. Have I said that word enough so far in the beginning of episode 51 here? Have I said it enough? Yes, we are one show away from our 1 year anniversary. Can you believe it?
It's gonna hurt a lot of it.
It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing that I have stuck with something this long, and I am so proud of myself. My ego is huge right now. It's booming. My head is about to expand so far that it's gonna explode. And I've got explosions in, body exploding things on the mind right now because I just recently watched Dead Alive again. I think it was Mr. Peter Jackson's first movie that he made, or first, real movie that he made or something. But great, great, just obscenely gory, gross, funny movie that you should all see. If you haven't seen it, Dead Alive. You can stream it on Netflix. Excellent, excellent flick if you have not seen it. So go check that out. And you'll know what I'm talking about. Extremely gory. God. Oh, I love that special effects stuff. You know what would be amazing? If I got a special effects person on this show. Hey, that's something. That's something. If any of you know any special effects professionals out there, I would love to get in contact with them because that kind of stuff fascinates me, and I would love to do an interview with somebody who does special effects. So if you know of anybody that does special effects for their job, email me, aaron@air-raid.net. That's A-A-R-O-N at air-raid.net. We have got a great show planned for you today in this episode 51. Cannon Canyon, one of my favorite bands, is going to be joining us a little bit later. We've had these guys on the show a couple times now. This is going to be, I think, number three, their third guest appearance on the Air Raid podcast. They are about to release their new album. It's not quite finished yet, but I have an advanced copy, and we're going to be featuring their music throughout the episode. And they're going to be joining us a little bit later, talking about, recording the latest album and what's going on in their lives and all that good stuff. Some band change up, some member fluctuations, if you will. And we're going to be talking about all that good stuff. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit with you, the listener, about music festivals.
I'm not joking around here.
Okay, this is going to be old news by the time this episode drops, but we are, right now when we're recording this episode here, Sasquatch, the Sasquatch Music Festival held over in the Gorge in George, Washington, has just ended. And I have been to Sasquatch, I think maybe twice in the past, and I've been to a number of different music festivals, as I am sure many of you listening to this have. But I think I'm getting to the point in my life where really, like, festivals like that, like, they don't really interest me anymore because there's just way too many people. I don't know what it is, if I just don't like being around a lot of people or big, huge crowds like that. Like, I don't know, man. I'm getting to the point in my life where it's like, it's not worth it to me anymore to, you know, like, jockey for position to when at a show, you know, when at a, like, a live show or a live event, like one of these music festivals where there's just like tens of thousands of people jockeying for position to get closer to the stage to see a really awesome band play. And that's the hard part about it, is that at Sasquatch they have so much good music that that is playing at these things. I mean, so many great bands were there this year. And you know, I didn't really miss anything, I don't think. You know, I'll put them on the CD player, or put them on the iPod, and listen to them that way. But yeah, is that something that you guys experience as well? Or is that just me being a total curmudgeon? Like, I was talking to a friend of the show, Will Campbell, who kind of helps produce the program for us here, and he was saying he's a couple years older than I am, and he was saying, you know, he's getting back into that. He's getting to a point in his life where he is interested in going to these festivals again, and he said that, you know, he kind of went through the same thing where in his early 30s he kind of got tired of it. And didn't want to deal with the hassle of, like, getting out there, finding a parking spot, you know, if you're camping out there, finding a camping spot, everything like that, and doing that whole thing. However, I will say, maybe what I'm missing is that I'm not drunk enough when I go to one of these festivals. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's my problem, is that I am not drunk enough. So, yeah, hit me up with an email, aaron@air-raid.net, and let me know how you guys feel about music festivals. Because during the summer, too, like, there's so many music festivals going on, especially around the Seattle area, in Washington, kind of in Oregon, too. I mean, we just had, let's see, during Sasquatch, there's also Folklife that happens here in Seattle, which is kind of a lesser, less big, less fantastical Bumbershoot, if you've ever been to a Bumbershoot here in Seattle, which is that's a fun time. That's a fun time too. I think that's more enticing to me because I live in close proximity to it, so I can just come home at the end of the day. You know, I don't have to, like, first of all, I don't have to, like, find a parking spot because I can just take the bus down there or something like that, or hitchhike, which I've never, ever, ever done. Probably won't, because I don't want to be talked into sucking any cock. Anyway, well, we've got a great show for you. Send me your emails. I really enjoy getting emails from you guys, and let me know how you feel about festivals. And maybe on episode 52, our anniversary edition of the Air Raid podcast, we'll read some of those emails out loud and on the air, and you know, talk about that more in depth. We'll get to the heart of what you, the listener, think of music festivals, because that's how we do here at the Air Raid Podcast. Let's get things started here, shall we? Let's go to our first musical break here. This is off of Cannon Canyon's new album. And it's yet to be named, where I feel really special. I feel really special that the Air Raid podcast gets the, gets the first play of this music here, because it's really good. Mike Cooper, a good friend of mine, good friend of the show, sent me this advanced copy, and I don't even think, I mean, some of the songs sound like they've been mastered. I mean, they sound really, really good, but I don't know if it's been mastered yet or not. But it sounds really good, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. You can find them at canoncanyon.com. Once again, totally unprepared. God dang it. I think it's canoncanyon.com. Maybe we'll come back. We'll circle back, and we will tell you the correct website where you can go and find these guys. But they're also on Facebook, and you can find them at facebook.com/CanonCanyon. So definitely check them out. Friend them on Facebook. Check out the music. And we're going to have them on here in just a moment. And let's see. We're going with this song's called The All You Get. And this is Canon Canyon off their new album, unreleased, unnamed. And we'll be right back. Well, we are back with Canon Canyon, three parts of the band here, minus a drummer, which we may or may not talk about in a little bit. But this new album you guys got coming out here sounds fantastic.
You're a sweetheart.
Thank you.
I know. I am. I'm also very good looking.
Agreed.
I have a face for video, not for radio, right? Well, thank you guys so much for coming back on the show. This is like number three, right?
Three, yep.
Yeah. So I'm super stoked to have you guys back. Really stoked to be hearing the new music that's coming out, which is awesome.
Thank you.
And it's not quite finished yet, right?
It gets mastered next month.
Okay.
Or in 2 weeks, I guess.
Okay. Great. And then you still have like album art that needs to be made up for it, and still don't have a album name.
We kind of do, but we're still, I think we're going to talk about that later.
Pretty settled on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go have a drink after we're done here and figure out whether
do
or not
we're going to
some alcohol.
We got to figure out if we're a real band or not.
Yeah.
I think you're getting there.
Yeah. Brick by brick.
That's true. So can I maybe suggest maybe an album name for you?
Sure.
Here it comes.
Give it to us. Drum roll.
Oh, yeah. I got one of those.
Waiting.
Hold on.
Wait
shut
for
up.
It.
Shut up.
Who didn't turn their phone
that was,
off?
That's me.
The guy told so everyone to turn it off. Hey, everybody. Just want to make sure all your phones are turned off before the show starts.
Oh, my God.
So your suggestion again for the album name.
Let's go with this.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Is that a little loud?
That is not a drum roll. And it was really loud.
I like it.
Sorry. Let's see. Okay, hold on. Buttholes.
Nice.
Yeah? You like it?
I like it. It's a little shitty.
It's one of my favorite words anyway.
Right.
I think it stinks.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Sounds tasty, though. What?
So any ideas, though, for album names?
Yeah, we have a few.
Can we talk about this, or is this, like, top secret information?
We'll put it to a vote.
Okay.
You can hit us up on Twitter, @canon_canyon, and tell us what your vote is.
Canon with one N.
Not two N's.
Literary work of art.
No, we're not into guns. Like a gun.
Well, my vote's going for butthole.
That is an option. You can vote buttholes or butthole, whatever you want.
So as of right now, we're thinking we're going to call it Conducted by Thieves.
Damn straight.
And that kind of plays into one of your songs too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds great. You sent me an advanced copy of these unmastered songs. And even though they're unmastered, man, they sound fantastic.
Cool.
So I'm stoked for you guys. And I think that this is going to be your ticket. You guys are going to be playing live shows at Disneyland anytime soon.
Then we've made it.
Don't forget the little people, okay?
We're trying to make it.
Dream.
All right?
I really want to play California's Adventureland.
Right.
I just want to play the Emerald Queen anytime soon. Maybe we can open for Sinbad.
Shoot for the stars.
Oh,
Nugent.
Yeah. Nugent's coming. Yeah. Nugent's coming.
The Nuge.
That's an interesting question. So do you guys think that even like a guy like Ted Nugent, right, who's probably still has a pretty big following, like if he plays the Emerald Queen Casino, does that mean that he's going down?
You know, once you decide to do the casino circuit,
I think you're done.
Well, maybe as an artist,
it's an active route. I think
maybe you're artistically done, but as a performer, like, you're gonna sell out that boat. You know, fuck it, you got to make money.
I'm sure he prefers to play there. Honestly,
he's got some cash.
I'd say he'd probably have some fans that are regularly there.
He's gonna get a bunch of hunters coming out, a bunch of 70s whores. Yeah. He's stoked.
He was going to go shooting that afternoon, but then he caught wind of the fact that the
I'm sure he'll
is
stop
playing.
By. He'll do an in-store at Cabela's. Do an in-store at Cabela's on the way up.
Well, that'd be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if, like, all the prostitutes in my neighborhood are gone on that night because they're down seeing the Nuge.
Getting their cat scratch fever.
The silver bullets.
Hold.
Yeah.
Stranglehold.
So, Kellen.
Yep.
You just went to Sasquatch.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And before we started the show, we were talking about it a little bit out back at the steakhouse.
Yeah.
And you were kind of saying some of the same things that I was saying at the intro of the show before you guys got here.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
Yeah. You want to be friends?
Yeah, sure. Call me. Maybe we could start a podcast. I don't know, man. The easy thing for me to say would just, like, be it's not my bag, I guess. But
Do you think you're getting to a certain age where it's like it just doesn't resonate with you anymore, or like being around that many people like just pisses you off, or what?
I think that's a part of it.
Yeah. I wasn't doing the LSD.
Yeah.
You did have some friends that were on acid.
Yeah, if I'm not ready for the LSD trip or the ecstasy, then I'm kind of the odd man out. I don't know, man. We showed up, waited in a long line. I thought we got there at a decent hour, too, like midway through the first day, and the normal camping was already sold out. So we go to Overflow Camping. Of course, most of the people I went with are all stressed out because I think they were looking forward to the all-night party more than a music festival. So
Right.
If we're being pushed off to the side, maybe there's not going to be enough drunk sluts walking around looking for free beer. I just got the impression that they oversold it quite a bit, and then of course no re-entry, so if there's something cool
you
want to see,
that totally blows.
You have to show up at 1 o'clock and then sit in the sun for another six seven hours.
Was it super hot over there too?
It got hot. My biggest thing, I think what pushed me over the edge, by the way, I bought a 4-day pass and came home Saturday night at the end of the second day. I just couldn't handle it. I was looking forward to sitting in my truck for a couple hours more than I was hanging out and drinking anymore. It got below freezing. I went out and bought a super sleeping bag. I thought I was all prepped and wasn't the case. You know, there was,
what do you mean? You were still cold at night?
Yeah, I froze my ass off. I couldn't sleep. All of my buddies were up pounding drum and bass outside.
Right.
So I think,
by the way, possibly like the worst place to have a trip, to have an acid trip.
Sasquatch.
In front of like tens of thousands of people.
Unless, of course, they're all fucked up too.
Maybe that's the only way. That's probably the only way you can have fun there. Doing some kind of crazy hallucinogenic.
It's a good way.
Right.
I think the festival organizers probably assume that you do that so you can maybe go inside and you think a little bit less about having to spend $6 for water and $12 for some of the shittiest yakisoba noodles I've ever had.
Oh, God. Yeah, totally. I think I would go if I could do the press thing, you know? Mm. If I could get, like, a press pass, because it seems like it'd be a lot easier to kind of get around, because probably most of the time you're, like, backstage and doing that thing.
Right, or so, you just have an excuse to cut to the front, see the shit that you want, and... There were some things that I was really looking forward to seeing and could hardly see or hear them just because of the sheer amount of people. And fuck, man, I don't know. It's really disappointing.
It seems like it really stressed you out, too.
It stressed me out only because, you know, like a part of me wants to think like, well, you know, this is something I would have normally really looked forward to.
Yeah.
Been really excited about. And like you mentioned, you know, I'm 27, so I'm not going to act like I'm an old guy or something, but I just straight up don't have the attention span or the patience. I spent a lot of time in the tent by myself just listening to podcasts.
Well, I hope you were listening to mine.
You weren't.
Yeah, you weren't.
The Aaron Roden podcast, whatever the
You
name
don't even
is,
know,
you know
the name. Jesus. Oh, my God, dude. This is your third time on here, and you
it's,
can't
the The Hair Rape Podcast, right? Anyway, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
It could definitely be cool. I would just recommend going with some more like-minded people so you can talk and hang and not have your buddies complaining about the fact that they got too drunk or too high to you all day.
What about you guys? You guys are you guys into going to these big music festivals anymore? Or
no,
you
I don't like out people. Of don't too like expensive, it. Too many people. Shitty sound, bad place to be, 4 hours away. I could go on.
I gotta say, I heard this so many times this weekend by like shirtless 22-year-old dudes.
This is like Woodstock, brah.
Yeah.
Are you serious? No, that's quote, you're serious?
Well, if it wasn't that, it was like, man, I bet you this is what Woodstock was like.
Oh my God.
Just
so much peace and love and $12 water. Pass the tablet of acid, bruh.
And just, yeah, these same guys that are just rowdy as fuck, they're like, you know, looking for the next beer pong experience and talking about how dope Bright Eyes is. It's just so backwards. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Are you not a fan of Bright Eyes?
I really don't know any Bright Eyes. I just know the...
Was he there? Was Connor Oberst there?
Oh, Connor was there.
Yeah?
Okay. He was there.
Okay.
But yeah, just that sort of thing that I'm sure they... probably would have called gay 2 weeks before being there.
Right.
Like, yeah,
sorry. Oh, no, come on, Michael.
I'm sorry.
Causing noise. I share your sentiments.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm only putting this disclaimer out there because we may be getting press passes for Sasquatch next year.
Ooh. Sam Squatch.
Yeah. So it's the Squatch. Cause I totally bitched about it before you guys got here. And then a year from now, I'm going to be going there as press, and people are going to be like, hey, wait a minute.
You're going to come see Cannon Canyon?
I think you guys will be there on main stage by this time next year.
Oh, man.
That's the only way I'll go to that freaking thing.
So let's talk about your new album for a little bit here, you guys. So when did you guys start recording this?
We started recording
Which time?
late March the first time.
It was like March.
Uh-huh.
And then and then we went in again. Wait, what month? Where are we? What time is it? Month is it? It's May. So in mid-April, yes. Again, we took about a month off after doing
exactly
4 days.
After the first time.
I think so. We took about a month off and then redid some songs and finished it up. And that took about 2 weeks with mixing.
Right, right. So. And that was because, like, one of the drummer left, Jimmy, who's been on the show before, left.
Right.
He just had a new daughter.
He did have a new daughter.
Yeah, and beautiful little baby girl.
Congrats, brah.
Yeah,
atta brah. Boy.
Yeah.
Both of you.
And so you guys, what, did you have to round up somebody else then?
Yeah, we got our buddy Peter to play drums.
Uh-huh.
He was in a few bands, Eyes of Autumn from Tacoma. That was a pretty cool band. And then this band, Deep Sea Diver.
Yeah, he and his
Deep
wife.
Deep Sea Diver?
His wife are in.
They just moved up from Long Beach, and they are insanely talented.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are they originally from Tacoma? Or
Peter's from Gig Harbor.
Oh, okay.
Or Purdy, actually. And then she's...
Oh, like the paintbrush.
Right. It's Purdy. Nice. And then she's from...
Or like your wife.
Oh, my God.
Again.
It's been a
Get
while.
Get your raping eyes away from that.
That's the last one. Sorry.
She's from Long Beach or Southern California.
Okay, okay.
But she sings on the record and he plays drums on the record, so.
Yeah, oh, okay, cool. So that's the female voice that I'm hearing
on. Yeah, there's two females.
Okay.
One's her and then another is a good friend, Dana James.
Dana James from Helmsley?
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right. It just sounds fantastic. So
thank you.
How long did you spend on it? Did you say?
Altogether, 2.5 weeks, probably.
Yeah, I'd say.
With mixing.
Right. Yeah.
It's the longest studio experience I've ever had.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
So, yeah, but...
When I was still playing music and stuff, and we would go record, like, I always had it in my mind that, like, bands, like, good bands would spend months and months and months on recording a record.
Mm-hmm. Some do.
Right, well, they have to have the money to do it,
good
right?
Bands.
Yeah,
yeah. Good bands.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are great. You guys are a good band. So it only took you about 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know,
two and a half weeks. Yeah.
I mean, the songwriting, we wrote a bunch of songs. It took a long time. And then we wrote songs together as a band, which took a long time. Then we tweaked everything. And we spent a lot of time prepping for it. Not as much time as we want to for the next one, but... you know, there's definitely a lot of time involved in getting ready to go into the studio. And then when we got in the studio, we weren't planning on being there that long. But we just wanted it to be how we envisioned it in our mind. So it took a little bit longer. But
and you even said, you're at the steakhouse, you're still not kind of happy with the final result?
Oh, no, I'm happy with it.
Or you just wanted to, like, change a couple things or what?
No, I just overanalyze it.
I think it's one of those things where you're... a lot of musicians can probably relate, I'm assuming.
Right, right.
It's never entirely done.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be fully satisfied.
Yeah.
I think you listen to it enough times and then always find something to change.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Or you hear, like, one little mess up or something like that, you know. Not saying that you guys did that. but you hear something in the background where you're just like, I didn't make that note entirely and... things like that.
You're always hearing how you could have played it differently.
Right.
Or something else.
What you could have done.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally.
We got to work with Matt Bayless this time around. At
Red Room?
Yeah, he definitely has a way of getting a good performance out of everybody. So if it took a while, I think it's because he recognized that maybe there was patting ourselves on the back here. But, like, there was...
Your ego is huge, sir.
amount of good stuff there, and like we really needed to like nail it. And this was my first real
studio
trip to the studio.
Nice.
Learned a lot. That was a trip.
Did you have fun while doing it too?
I'm just stoked to have like learned so much. Honestly,
There's always the ups and downs to the creative process and the recording process, but. I mean, fun is not really the best way to describe it. I don't think it's work.
It's work. Yeah.
It's work, and it's waiting, and it's there's a lot of patience involved. And you know, when you're done, it's kind of like, and you listen to it, then it's kind of fun.
You can replace fun or with just rad experience.
Or at the end of mixing. Yeah, yeah, it's a great experience, you know. Mm-hmm. Every time you record, it's a different learning experience. So.
And Tim, was this kind of your first experience in the studio too, or?
Yeah, basically.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And like a true studio? I mean, you're saying it like you've done this before, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've fiddled around with it before, but this is the first time for me to be in a real live studio with a real experienced producer. And so it was fun for me, and also like really good experience. And Matt was really good at identifying our strengths and weaknesses and being able to pull out our strengths.
Cool.
So it was, like Kellen was saying, it was great learning experience. And within each of ourselves, we were able to recognize what our strengths were and our weaknesses were. So in the end, you know, it was a short amount of time, but we came out of it, I don't know, maybe better musicians. And
I'd say so. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what is it like working with somebody like Matt Bayless? Matt Bayless was in Minus the Bear. And, you know, seems like, I mean, a guy like that is super, super knowledgeable on everything music, really knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He's got a whole slew of amazing equipment at that studio that you guys can use. little plug here. Did you guys use all Varelin amplifiers?
Oh, I did. I used a Coupe on a few songs.
Did you?
I used my twin on the
nice.
On the
rest. Nice.
I just had a custom job by our good buddies at Varelin. And,
oh, that's right.
I actually do some woodworking there now. Twice a week.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Right on. A lot of
right
fun.
On.
Yeah.
Love that stuff.
It sounded amazing. With Matt's help, I had just gotten it maybe 2 days before the second time we went in to kind of re-record some stuff, and there's definitely a sweet spot with those. And I was surprised to get some of the sounds that I was able to get out of it. Maybe not what I like went in there thinking I was going to do, but pleasantly surprised, and definitely more appropriate for what we do.
Nice.
So I was excited.
And it was he, like, so this is something that fascinates me. When bands go into a studio, a professional studio like that, and work with somebody like Matt Bayless, does he kind of push you in a certain direction when you're recording certain songs or anything? Like he hears something when you guys are playing your version of the song. Does he tweak something, or does he say, "Why don't you try going in this direction?" Or is it stuff like that? Or
no, he never did that. He left it up to us to take it to the direction.
I think he was more into getting a consistent sound between all the songs, so they all sounded had a certain similar tone.
Right, maybe. Right.
We probably weren't the easiest to work with when it comes to that, just because we are kind of, I think we would agree, we're kind of all over the place songwriting wise.
Yeah.
The way the song sounds, like, you know, it's hard to peg exactly what it is we do. And I know that's a very cliche thing to say, but, you know, being able to take such a diverse set of songs and find some kind of consistency was probably an undertaking, but the guy's a pro, and you know,
he just kind of gently just kind of pushes you in a certain direction where it's like, you know, you're singing this a little bit too high, or you're
He definitely has suggestions on with singing and, you know, different probably guitar parts and stuff. If he thinks something sounds a little whack or weird,
cool,
he'll give us some suggestions.
Well, yeah, he'd guide us in the route that we were already going, but if we were to ask him, like, how does this sound, how do you think this sounds,
you an honest opinion.
He would just be like, how do you think it sounds? Like, I'm not going to tell you what I want to hear. What do you want to hear?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, let's go to our second musical break here. We're going to hear something off of the new Cannon Canyon album. The album that I'm keeping my fingers crossed is going to be called Buttholes.
it's not
two
mom.
Votes for that.
Mom and Dad, it is not called Buttholes.
No, it won't be called Buttholes. It'll be called the Air Raid Podcast or something like that, right?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, you like that? it's gonna cost it. Oh, thank you, Coop.
Well, TK. At least half the marketing is already done. It sounds like you're on your way. So we'll just, ride those coattails.
Okay, cool. We're going to hear this song, Better Along. Is there anything you guys want to say about this song before we play it? Or
I think this is my favorite one on here.
It might be one of my faves.
It's good. It's really good stuff.
Which song is this? Jessica Dobson and Dana James.
And Ben. Ben does some woes.
And Ben Brown.
Nice.
Ben does some woes. belting it out, buddy.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, this is Better Along by Cannon Canyon. We'll be right back with more about recording, the recording experience, and Kellen's beard. Whoop. Be back in a moment. Alright, we are back with the band Cannon Canyon. You just heard the song
Better Along.
Really? Better Along. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Also known as Jesus Really.
It's been like an ongoing thing with me is that I'm finding that I'm so ill-prepared sometimes for certain things. Like before you guys got here, I do the intro to the show, right? And I'm like, okay, you can check this band out. They've got a website. And that website is
non-existent
maybe
right now.
CannonCanyon.com.
No.
But I know you have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still going.
Kellen's really into the Twitter page, so I know that's going on.
Are you good at tweeting?
No.
It was. I don't know. I no. cannot figure out the whole Twitter thing for the life of me. Like I have it connected to our Facebook page.
Right.
And, you know, and... That's about it. Like the whole hashtag thing. Like I don't fucking get it.
It was. I'm more concerned about like whether or not we have anything entertaining to say. So like when we
well, that's the whole thing, right? You have to have something. Something's got to be there.
And
right.
I think the only followers are us.
I didn't even realize there was a real Twitter.
I guess I'm the only follower, and I don't even I check it maybe once every 3 weeks. So
I'm telling you, there's a lot of good stuff there.
We'll talk about. Well, what's your Twitter handle then? Let's
we are at Cannon_Canyon. That's Cannon with one N. CANON.
Okay.
Check it out. There's some intimate interview footage.
Intimate.
And a lot of funny quips.
Good. Wait, is there really interview footage?
It's basically Kellen saying,
I'm not taking a video. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. You're taking a picture. No, I'm taking a video. Yeah, it's just an argument of video and maybe Peter listening to the record.
I don't know.
Sounds awesome.
We're gonna get on it.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
when shit happens to us, we'll put it up there,
and you'll let everybody know.
Right. It was easy. It was easy to put interesting stuff up when we were recording, but now that we haven't done anything until today, I'll probably tweet about this.
Yeah, you got to tweet about this. You got to give us props, right?
For what? What?
Oh,
for lasagna.
Making
for the lasagna.
Dinner.
Yeah, I understand. Jeez. Yeah. It's a good deal.
Be grateful.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
This is kind of becoming a tradition with you guys where we have you over and make dinner and make a whole night of it.
I was under the impression that you cooked dinner for everybody that came here.
No, just you guys.
Just us.
Well, just you guys.
That's nice. Right.
Yeah, totally. You guys are privileged guests here in Dining Room Studios.
So happy. DR Studios.
That's right. So when we left and went to the song break, we were talking about kind of the recording experience and the experience of working with a producer. During the break, Mike, you and I were kind of talking about how, like, I think the songs are solid, man. I think it's really, really good.
Thanks.
And you were saying you're a little bit nervous about it.
Yeah, I am.
Do you want to?
I just feel exposed. I feel like now that's like the last 3 years of my life that I've documented lyrically and musically, whatever.
Yeah, some of those songs are really old.
Yeah, there's some old songs on there and some, you know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
To have other people excited about it when it's just like.
Your thing.
Well, not my thing, but my like.
Your life on paper, or what?
My emotional release.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you about that just a little bit. Like, how do you go about writing some of this stuff? I mean, you know, some musicians out there probably, you know, they write like the music first, and then they have, you know, this idea of what they want to write the song about,
right.
And it becomes kind of like a storytelling session.
Yep.
Right. Is that how it works for you too, or is it more pulling from personal experience?
I'm an observer.
Okay.
Like growing up as a kid, like I've always just been kind of quiet, just like looking around, observing things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started writing about them. And then eventually I started learning how to play guitar, and then I started singing about them.
Yeah.
But, every time I write a song, it's completely different. Like there's a lot of songs on this record where it's just me playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of those songs are written in a day. Other of those songs were written in like 9 months. Like the songs that all of us worked on in a band, it took a lot more time because all of our input was there.
Right, right.
You know?
And everybody's got ideas and
exactly.
stuff like that.
And then you feed off that, and then like songs change 8 or 9 times.
Right. And the longer you guys play together, it must get more like, it must get easier to write a song, right?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know if it's maybe. I mean, I think we all like it's communication really that gets easier.
Right. Yeah.
The song itself, like every time you write a song, it's going to be completely different. Something's going to change. Like, there's no standard format, you know.
I think a lot of bands probably have a better idea of what exactly it is that they're going for before they launch into this. And I think for us, it's been more of a on the fly thing. I know that kind of makes it sound cheap, but I think we are dudes that like to hang out, and we have a lot in common, so...
I don't know if it makes it sound cheap. I mean, maybe it's just the more natural kind of deal that we have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. We're definitely getting to the point where we work really well together, I think. And instinctually, we're getting to the same spots at the same time a lot better than maybe before. But, you know... The difference between the last record and this one was, you know, I think Mike kind of, he had his songs ready to go, and it was a matter of just execution. And this time around, it was more like a democratic sort of approach.
Right. So is everybody writing kind of their own parts to it, or are there...
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Certain things that, you know, somebody has in mind that they want to hear? Or
yeah. I really got into how a lot of the writing process for like the more like full band songs, the way that developed was like kind of inspiring to me, just to be able to learn to depend on your bandmates and
feel each other out.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Feel each other up too and stuff.
Yeah. How well,
of course.
How much it just comes together naturally was really sweet. Makes you feel like you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's really cool. And I think it shows in this album too, because the last one was mostly just you, right?
Yep.
Mike?
Yep.
Okay. And this one is a lot more, you know, it's, and I'm not saying that the last album was bad, it was just different.
Yeah, it's
right?
different. Yeah.
Totally. It was totally, totally different. This has more of like an actual like big band feel to it, cool. I think. And and there's some more poppiness to the songs, which is not a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
And I think it comes together really well. So congratulations to you dudes, because I think personally that it's gonna be a big stepping stone for you guys.
Cool.
And I hope it is too.
I think so.
Hey, me
I
too.
Hey, you too. Yeah.
Me too, buddy.
If anything, it's another stepping stone to making another good record. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And do you have some more songs that you got in the works?
Yeah. We got
always.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one that we had to leave off this record.
It's my fault.
And no, I wasn't gonna say.
And there's still a couple that weren't ready to be on the record.
Yeah.
Too,
they. So. Yeah. Yeah. They weren't ready, but there's some cool stuff.
I think we already got a good leap on the next few songs.
Oh, cool.
Maybe we can do one of those cute digital releases where you go to our website, give us your email address, and then you can download our 6-song.
Why would we do that? if we're making money, I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Give shit away.
You guys are going to be crazy. Making millions.
Making what? We're making what?
Tim, you signed a contract that you would not make anything off of this whole venture.
I think I did. I totally think I signed up for that one.
He actually wrote the contract.
He signed it here.
Yeah. They're taking advantage of me in my...
When he busted up his elbow playing foosball.
Oh. Yeah, and how did
when
this
that
happen?
He signed the contract in blood.
Nice segue, by the way.
Thank you.
Coop. So how did this happen? Because you showed me that scar that you have on your elbow, and now like your tattoo is all messed up.
I really can't tell you. I really can't go over how it happened.
I'll give you a play-by-play.
Because you were blacked out?
Yeah,
what?
This guy wasn't even there.
I wasn't there, but I know what happened. So there he was, TK, playing foosball, 6-7.
Then a big booty
getting
Judy.
Getting crazy. Then a big booty Judy drove by, walked by. He was like, damn. Oh, my God. And he spun. There's no spinning involved in foosball. You can't do the spinning. He had his hands on, but he slipped. He's like, oh, my God. And then his elbow hit the Budweiser mirror in the background, cracked it, blood
Very
everywhere.
Nice.
He didn't even feel it. He was winning so
incredible display of testosterone.
He was just winning so hard.
He was winning so hard.
And not like, even close. Not even close.
It's like winning.
Oh, man.
I was drunk and losing, and I smashed a window out of pure anger, and then was sent immediately to the hospital.
There was still a lot of blood.
Yeah. Well, it looks like because you had this. Like,
and he got 86 from that bar.
Big. Oh, this was at a bar?
It was at a bar.
I thought it was at somebody's house.
No, they didn't get 86.
Okay. He doesn't know.
God, I was really hoping.
They'll never
tell me you got
that
kicked
establishment.
Out.
God. No. Oh, yeah. Well, it took like a huge chunk out of your elbow,
oh, yeah,
right?
There's flesh missing. There's muscle tissue missing.
Oh, my God.
I lost a lot of things.
And now you're having like phantom pains?
Well, I didn't even want to go. I was totally like, we can just tape this up. We'll finish this game.
Duct tape, bitch.
You can't duck it. Fuck it. I was turning pale and sweating, and people were telling me I needed to leave. So I fought it.
You just wanted to keep it going.
Yeah, I was bleeding.
Keep the night going.
There was skin and meat on the ground.
There was blood on the foosball.
Did it actually took a chunk of your flesh out?
Yeah, I'm not lying.
And plopped it on the floor.
Indentation.
It looks like a shark bite.
Yeah,
on his elbow.
It looks like a dogfish.
A dogfish.
There are worse injuries
Small
in the
shark.
World.
A salmon.
You got a salmon bite on your elbow. It wasn't that bad at all. But.
Has it gotten you laid? Has the scar gotten you laid?
No, it actually got me in a huge fight with my girlfriend that night.
Oh, man.
So
seriously, dude. Come on.
I
get your shit together, bro.
I'm trying. I'm working on it. I'm still young.
You're in a serious band now, all right?
Seriously.
With some serious guys,
Right.
I'm so serious. Oh, yeah, this comes like a month before Kellen broke his ankle at a concert somehow.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
We all had injuries within the same month.
It's part of the process, mm-hmm. the writing process.
It's
where a lot of the emotion.
I think it's self-sabotage.
A lot of the emotion came from is these injuries. What did you do, Kellen?
I went to go see an awesome band called Great Falls, no pun intended, at the Comet, and their bass player is notorious for, you know, getting into it.
Getting weird.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake of lining up right in front of him in the front row, and he took a stage dive at a very emotional point in the song, and I caught all of his weight, twisted the wrong way, and then...
told you to get to the gym. Told you to get to the gym, man.
You start stretching.
So, yeah, I slide off the floor like a wounded deer.
Or wet noodle.
I normally look like a wet noodle, so it doesn't really differentiate the right way. So, anyway, yeah.
Wait, did it just totally snap your ankle?
No, I got away with a little hairline.
The
job.
Bone wasn't sticking out, so it didn't even count.
Yeah.
No, but the sprain's killing me. I can't ride my bike. Can't do anything fun.
You're fixed gear, you little hipster.
Yeah. I haven't a fixed gear.
He can ride a bike with those shoes.
Not with the Kellen Anderson line of 011.
So Coop, what happened to you? You're no slouch when it comes to injuries.
Well, I'm just
friend.
A total klutz, but... I just got drunk. Well, I wasn't even drunk. I just got angry and punched something.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's always a good time, though.
I know. Well, I don't usually do that, but it surprised me. But I have a little scar.
That's what happens when you live in that room.
I know. TK lived in the same room that I live in now. And
wait, are you still living in your attic?
No, not in the attic
anymore.
Good. I'm in the master bedroom.
Nice.
Upgrade.
Yeah. In your own house.
Yeah.
Mind you. Which is great. You're coming up, man. Yeah.
Moving on up.
You know, that whole time you've lived in the house, like, this must be the first time that you're in that room.
Yeah.
Is it really?
No. I did
Steve
like a
lived
month
in there, and then David and Emily. Lived
yeah,
in there.
I did like a month long stint before David and Emily moved in. Then
that's we had that band.
This
room.
Is great for the listeners talking about David and Emily. Oh. A bunch of people they don't know.
Hey,
well,
guys.
I went to that. I went to that house. I had the privilege of coming to your house. It was like right around the when you first bought it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was the room you were staying in. Mm-hmm. You took my car keys, and I had to sleep on the floor. And which
right.
No, which was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I
actually
I'm,
did that.
No couch
I may
for
have
you.
Died.
He was trying
then,
to steal your car, not look out
I was,
for you.
I was
like,
sleeping.
Oh, you got a Saturn?
Yeah.
Or is that
I
a Subaru?
I did have the Saturn at that point. Yeah. Very good memory. But I remember, like, Ben Varellin got the prime spot under the heater.
Mm.
And so I had to sleep. I like curled up underneath this chair
that
against the
right.
wall
yeah.
and then woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to some guy peeing in the corner of your house.
He peed on my Bob Dylan book.
Right.
Bastard.
And then I bought you a new one.
Yeah.
A new Bob Dylan
book.
And then
my dog ate it.
Thank
you,
good though. Times. Good times. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. Just another sober night on Ferry Street.
Yeah, buddy.
The house has been soaked with urine.
Just three times, thanks to you. You and that heroin dude that peed on the Bob Dylan book.
Oh, my God.
Heroin dude?
It might have splashed onto my dog, Dusty.
Oh, that's terrible.
Off of Bob Dylan's book.
Oh, poor book.
Love
Chronicles,
poor book.
Volume,
yeah.
Volume 3.
And that poor ottoman that he... So
when's volume 1 and 2 going to come out?
hey, so what's going on with Cannon Canyon? What are you guys doing next? You got anything coming down the pipes here?
Well, I think we're going to figure out our drumming situation.
Yeah.
We're going to play a bunch of shows.
So can you put a shout out for that? Drummers, come to us.
Looking for drummers.
Looking, listening. And then figuring out all the record stuff and...
Yeah,
forward.
How does anybody put out a record anyway?
I don't know.
Just throw it.
So wait a minute, but
please
you,
tweet
you
us
have
at Cannon Canyon. Never mind.
You have this label, Rural Wolf.
That's correct.
Which is very hard to say.
Yeah, that's
I might
the
add.
Intention.
So what's going on with that? Why don't you put it out on Rural Wolf?
It's a matter of a little thing called finance.
Okay.
Rural Wolf only owns
Wolf.
Rural
what are you, five.
I can't even say the name. Rural Wolf.
Canyon. Rural Wolf.
We have a lot of debt, so we just have to figure out what we're gonna do.
Okay.
But we're gonna put out a record by this band called Crips.
Should
seven
be
inch.
Sweet.
yeah. which I'm stoked yeah. about. And then we're going to put out a Xylophones record, this David Bilbrew's band.
Nice.
And then the Cannon Canyon record, maybe, if we can figure out some financing.
But I'm sure we can figure out something cool.
Yeah, well, you know, something will happen. Like, maybe we'll just do vinyl on ours or what. But
we could
yeah,
officially yeah. release a t-shirt on Roll.
Yeah,
Wolf.
Yeah.
There we'll you go.
T-shirt sales.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You said vinyl. Is vinyl cheaper than putting out a CD?
No, it's just cooler. Nobody wants yeah. a CD anymore.
I remember that Sit Down and Listen, you guys made vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You guys put that out on vinyl, and then you had those little like download cards
right.
that came with it.
Which expire after 2 years that I didn't know.
Yeah, we yeah. didn't know that at all.
Hey, I downloaded mine, man.
Hey, thanks.
Good stuff.
Responsible.
The 2 year frame.
Responsible
that's right.
dad.
That's right. Yeah, yeah that's right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
And we can find you on Facebook, correct? Yes.
I think MySpace, if it still exists. It will never be updated again, but
yeah,
it's there.
Yeah. Nobody uses it anymore. No. It still is a great place to find music, though.
If you want to put the for time now. Into watching your page load for 10 minutes, whatever. But.
You got to get rid of your AOL dial-up, it sounds like.
Or Clearwire.
yeah.
That shit sucks.
I hate that.
Or,
you that's
know,
what we have
we
here.
Can two-year
contract them
who
at Mike's
that?
Phone yeah. number again.
Oh.
How about this? Anybody listening? Check us out on our Twitter page and tweet us the most derogatory thing you can think of directed towards Mike Cooper. And the winner will get a free copy of the record.
And that's at Canon with one N _ Canyon.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Booyah.
At Twitter. And you can find this show on Zune Marketplace, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else. We're also now a part of the awesome Noisebeam Network, so make sure you check that out, noisebeam.com. That's NOIZBEAM.com.
Noise in the hood.
That's right, biatch. And, yeah, it's been great having you guys back again.
Thanks, man.
And I'm sure that we're going to do it again and
see
again
you in
and again.
Every 6 months. We'll see you in 6 months.
It sounds good. Okay. Sounds like a plan,
a day.
Man. Cool. Yeah, totally. All right, we're going to go out today with another song from the new album from Cannon Canyon. This one's called Scenic Debris. And is there anything that you want to say about this one before?
Hey, it's about chemtrails.
It's about chemtrails. Do your
if
homework.
You don't know, well, I
it's
don't
a
care.
Real thing.
Figure it out.
Ben Vrelin does a little knows. Guest on this too.
Nice, nice.
And he's a fantastic talent.
Yes, he Word. Is. Yes, he is. And good. Go check out VrelinAmplifiers.com because we've been plugging him this whole show.
Bam. And it's worth so, it. He's yeah. not lying. They're worth it.
Right on, brother. Okay, thanks a lot, guys. And we'll see you guys next week.
Gracias.
The rain's been shining.